Hey, everybody, this is Tom Sharpling, and welcome to Best Show Gems, the best of the best show on WFMU. Basically, this is a podcast we're going to do every other week, giving you a bite-sized version of all the mirth and mayhem that goes on every week on the best show on WFMU. So please check out this exciting clip. FMU, you're on the air. Oh, hold on. FMU, you're on the air.
Carl, it's Larry.
Oh, this is Carl.
We need J-146 and J-147. That bitch and her stupid husband said that they got a call from their sitter, and the kids are going nuts at home, and they got to bail on the rest of the party.
This is Tom.
Carl?
No, this is not Carl. This is Tom.
Who is this?
Tom.
I was calling Carl.
Well, you must have misdialed. This is Tom. You called a radio station. My name's Tom. I'm the host of the show.
Where's Larry?
There's no Larry here. My name's Tom. I'm the host. Who's this?
This is Larry.
This is Larry.
Where's Carl?
Where's Carl? I don't know Carl or Larry.
Ugh. I must have misdialed. I was trying to call Carl.
Well, you must have misdialed. Who is Carl?
From Mr. Kochek.
Carl from Mr. Kochek?
Yes.
What is Mr. Kochek?
Only the biggest freelance Kochek-ing business in America, basically.
Freelance Kochek-ing?
Yeah.
You mean like Kochek-ing in a restaurant?
Or big parties.
Uh-huh.
That's where I'm at right now.
You're at a party, and yeah. What is your Kochek?
I'm running a Kochek at a party, jerk.
Oh, so you work for this place?
No, I am the place.
So you are Mr.
Carl's my employee.
Okay, so you are Mr. Kochek.
I am Mr. Kochek.
Uh-huh. Well, Mr. Kochek, apparently you misdialed.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah. So what? You said freelance?
I'll see you later.
What?
I said I'll see you later.
Okay, you said freelance Kochek?
Yeah.
What is a freelance Kochek?
What do you mean? We get hired by people, parties, functions, companies to go and set up a Kochek area, and their esteemed guests come and they check their coats.
Uh-huh.
And I run it.
Okay. Well, that kind of makes sense.
I pull in 7 figures a year.
Really?
What do you pull in?
Less than that.
As I figured.
Yeah. Well, you know, money's not everything.
Well.
What?
I disagree.
Yeah. Oh, I would disagree with you then.
Well,
I you know, whatever. You know, you're making a lot of money at it. Good for you.
That's right.
So like, do you work all through there?
I'll see you later.
What?
I'll see you later.
Okay. Oh, wait. I'm actually kind of intrigued by this. Do you have a minute?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You do coach for parties, you said.
All kinds of functions, yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah. What kind of parties?
All kinds of stuff. Well, you know, this isn't like the old days when, you know, there was a Kochek in every kind of restaurant, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, basically, I'm a freelance guy, and if someone's having a party, et cetera, like I said before, I get hired, I come, I set up a whole thing. We maintain and collect your gloves, jackets, hats, coats, everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I've done stuff for Apple, RGR Nabisco, VH1, Puma, Revlon. Just did this big thing for Blender magazine.
Really?
Check Lindsay Lohan's coat.
Okay, was it a nice coat?
Oh, it was a great coat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Little known fact.
Yeah?
Lindsay loves Altoids. Also has a Starskin Hutch keychain.
So, what, you went through her pockets and found coat stuff?
What?
Like, you found a keychain and Altoids in her coat?
Found? You accusing me of going into the pockets of a patron?
Well, how else would you have found that out?
I don't go through the pockets.
Uh-huh.
No, you see, sometimes the coat gets dropped and things fall out.
Uh-huh.
Or the pockets somehow get turned inside out.
Yeah.
And you can't help notice stuff that falls on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You don't ever, you're not the one, well, how does a coat get held upside down?
You never know. It gets jostled, it gets kind of bumped.
Uh-huh.
Twindled.
Twindled?
That's a term that we use in the Kochek business.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I apologize.
Twindling, reverse twindling.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if a coat gets twindled, things fall out of the pocket, and you kind of see what's in the, what hits the floor.
And that's when it turns into no man's land.
It's no man, okay.
Finders keepers.
You don't put the stuff back in the coat pocket?
Not if it hits the floor, no.
Really?
Rarely.
Really?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Because that's the rule of the coat check world.
So if something falls out of a coat that you're checking...
On the floor.
Uh-huh.
It's yours.
On the floor, it's yours. Well, if you're...
No, on the floors. It's yours.
What is that?
That's the time you count off.
What is that, like 6 seconds?
Something like that, yeah.
So if something
six
hits...
6 and a quarter.
What?
6 and a quarter,
technically. Oh, 6 and a quarter seconds. So if something hits the floor,
yeah,
it's yours. But what? How does the person whose coat it is have any chance to claim it if they've only got 6 seconds?
Well, they've got, you know, they've got the 6 seconds to check it.
Uh-huh.
And they say, I can't help it if they're on the dance floor boogieing by then.
Yeah, but you're kind of working for them, though.
Well, they should know the rules. Hey, you don't have any ins in the publishing world, do you?
No. Well, I'm just kind of a DJ. I really, why is that?
Well, I just finished this book.
Uh-huh.
Well, my story. It's kind of like a coffee table book, but also my story. It's called The Coats I've Checked.
So you wrote it. You've actually got a book about this.
Yeah.
What is it, like Mr. Coat Check? The Coats I Checked by Mr. Coat Check?
Basically, but I don't use that name.
Okay. What is your full name?
Larry Smurthwaite. Why?
Larry Smurthwaite.
Yeah.
Okay. So, The Coats I've Checked by Larry Smurthwaite.
A lot of it is kind of celebrity heavy.
Uh-huh.
Talk about the famous people whose coats I've checked. Harrison Ford.
Wow, Harrison Ford's coat.
Yeah.
You checked Harrison Ford's
coat. I did. It was super nice leather. Ralph Lauren.
So it was a Ralph Lauren jacket.
Really expensive.
Uh-huh.
Andy Griffith.
Okay. Well, what kind of coat did he have?
High-quality tweed.
Uh-huh.
Hootie.
Hootie, the guy from Hootie and the Blowfish?
Say what you will about their music.
Yeah.
The guys had nice coats.
Now, is he a nice guy?
All of them. I checked all of them.
Yeah, and they're all nice people?
See, you're one of those guys who thinks that Hootie is one guy. I could tell right then.
Well, you called him Hootie. His name's Darius
Rucker. No, I said Hootie as in the band.
Oh, you checked the whole band.
Of course I did.
Okay, so the whole band came to a function.
Yeah.
And you checked all four of their coats.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Good guys?
All but the bass player.
Okay.
Dean.
Uh-huh.
Weird.
All right.
You don't want to know what I found in his pocket.
What do you mean, how'd you find something in this
pocket?
Well,
it turned over and it popped out.
I have a feeling you're turning these coats over.
No, I'm not.
No?
Jason Alexander.
Yeah?
Keeps a car air freshener in his coat pocket.
Huh. That's kind of weird.
Those pine things?
Yeah.
And I also...
Like an opened one or one still sealed?
It was about a quarter done. You know how you can pull the plastic off, like, each little branch?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the first one.
So he's actually, like, maintaining it.
Oh, yeah. You've got to at his stature.
So that your coat stays, smells like a nice pine air freshener.
Yeah. Actually, I think his was vanilla bean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
The weirdest coat I ever did.
Yeah?
This guy named G.G. Allen.
G.G. Allen. You checked G.G. Allen's coat.
I worked briefly at this place called the Pyramid Club.
Yeah, in New York.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And his coat was smeared with what appeared to be chocolate.
Oh, I don't even want to...
Which always struck me as odd. Nice enough guy, though.
Really? He was a nice enough guy?
Yeah.
Did he tip?
It wasn't so much a tip as, like, a food stuff.
Ugh, I don't even want to talk about...
It looked like a couple goobers.
I don't even want to know. But it was a nice enough guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
You know what?
What's that?
You never forget the first celebrity that you check.
Really? Who was your first celebrity?
Mine was Billy Barty.
Billy Barty,
yep.
the famous actor who was a famous little person.
It was a cam- camel hair overcoat. Oh, my God, this thing was gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
This was at a party that Gene Wilder was throwing in Manhattan back in 81.
Okay.
Yeah, it was so great. I actually still have the coat.
You still have the coat?
Yeah.
How do you still have the coat?
Well, I pretended that someone stole it.
Well, why would you do that?
Because I wanted it.
So you stole his coat.
Yeah. Oh, he got so mad. But, like, what was he going to do, beat me up? He's, like, 2'8".
Well, that's terrible.
Oh, don't worry. I ended up reimbursing him.
Yeah?
The coat was, like, $350, which was a lot back then.
Uh-huh.
But luckily, between the money I found in Joe Beth Williams and Charles Grodin's coats, I had enough. And then some.
Oh, my God. So let me just get this straight. This is you're throwing a lot at me here. You basically check Billy Barty's coat.
See.
At a party.
See.
See. Or so you're answering in Spanish.
See.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that is, what is yeah? German?
German. Holland, I don't know.
Holland, yeah. So you're answering in Holland now. So Billy Barty checks his coat.
Yep.
At a party thrown by Gene Wilder that you were hired to work.
I was co-checking. I was hired to co-check.
Now, you're getting paid, I'm sure, a nice fee to work this party.
I prefer to use the word hefty.
Hefty. So you're getting a hefty fee.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, do you care to say how much?
For that night, I got there at 5. I left at 1 a.m. It was 5 figures.
Wow.
Yeah.
For just 8 hours work.
I'm that good.
Yeah, I'm sure co-checking is such a challenge. That
was dripping with sarcasm.
Pretty much.
You know what you're going to be dripping with?
What's that?
Guess.
I have no idea.
Blood. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to this. So you check Billy Barty's coat. You decide to steal it because it's so nice.
I did not. It fell out.
It fell. What fell out?
The coat.
What fell out?
Nothing. The coat fell out of the coat.
The coat fell out of the coat.
Essentially, yeah.
So the coat, what? The coat hit the ground?
Yeah.
And now you're claiming, so, well, that's like a new wrinkle. If the coat's hitting the ground and you own the coat.
Well, makes sense, doesn't it?
So you steal his coat.
That's the law of the coat room.
The law of... Yeah. Now, to steal... So to cover the expense of this coat you ostensibly stole, you paid with money you took from what's... whose pockets? Charles Grodin?
And Joe Beth Williams. And I didn't take it from them. The money fell onto the floor.
Uh-huh.
And sat there for 6 quarter seconds.
Uh-huh. So that's how you got that money.
Yeah.
So you reimbursed Billy Barty with money... That fell out of, and I'm going to put fell out of in quotes.
But that wasn't all that fell out of those pockets.
Uh-huh. What else fell out?
Marching powder.
What's that?
Bolivian marching powder.
So, what is that? Coke?
Yeah. That was the night I got my first taste of the White Lady.
Cocaine.
And we've had a tumultuous love affair ever since.
Ugh. So you found some coke out of a coat pocket, right?
It wasn't just some.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot.
So you started doing coke in the coat room that night.
Oh, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I loved it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you lied about... So you did somebody's coke. I'm not even sure whose.
Hey, it was Finders Keepers. And I should say, you know, if stuff like nose candy or Mary Jane falls out,
uh-huh,
I am obligated to tell the police.
Uh-huh. So, do you?
No.
But you're obligated to.
I am, but I don't have to. I mean, well, what's the
point? What do you think?
Hey, my drugs are missing?
What do you think obligated means?
What do you mean?
How do you know you're obligated to tell the police?
That's what it says in the bylaws.
The bylaws.
Yeah.
So it tells you in the bylaws that you have to report a stole, like drugs that fall out of a coat.
Yeah, but it's optional as to whether or not you're actually going to carry that through.
Well, how are you obligated to do it, but it's optional?
It's just part of the bylaws of the N-U-C-C-W.
The N-U-C-C-W, what's that stand
for? The National Union of Coat-Check Workers.
So you're unionized?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm the shop steward.
You're the shop steward of the coat-checking union.
Yeah.
So the drugs fall out of a coat. You start doing coke. And now you, but you don't report it. You just do the drugs, I'm assuming.
I don't need to. The last thing a celebrity wants is for me to report that. They don't want someone babbling to the tabloids about how some coat check guy found drugs in their pocket.
Uh-huh. Well, what if the coat check guy happened to just put the drugs back in their pocket then if
he
they fell out?
He wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Because it fell on the floor for six and a quarter seconds.
Uh-huh. Because it's the some rule you're making up.
Well, on the odd event that they actually do catch me doing it, then it's a whole nother level.
What do you mean by a whole nother level?
Well, I'll often pretend that I can't speak English.
Uh-huh.
And that if they don't buy that, then I act like someone close to me's just died.
Uh-huh.
And the people that lost the stuff were missing. They don't yell at me.
Okay, so if I'm like Charles Grodin, I'm like, hey, where'd my money go?
Yeah.
What's your go-to move?
First thing is to pretend that I don't speak English.
Uh-huh. So what would it be like? Hey, Kochek guy, where's my, I had $700 in this coat. Where is it?
Hey, amino, comprendo, para tu, con leche.
Is it leche coffee? Or milk?
No. And then that doesn't swing them.
Uh-huh.
And I say that my wife just bit it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I start crying.
And then they'd forget it.
They usually end up either letting it go or they sue the company that hired me.
Uh-huh. So they're suing the company.
If their coats get lost.
What's that?
If their coats get lost.
And you own that company.
No, the company that hires me is like Puma or PA.
Oh, okay.
Revlon.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they sue that company.
Yeah.
And they get their money back through them.
Exactly.
Now, why don't people sue you, though?
Because they can't, because of the union.
Oh, okay.
And also, by the time they would file papers, I'd change the name of my company.
So you just changed the name of your coat check company.
Yeah.
I mean, you know this is pretty sleazy stuff you're kind of trading in here.
But if the people go after me,
uh-huh.
The union comes on strong. And then before you know it, the truckers who bring the food, the caterers, the cleanup crews, they all pull out of the party.
Oh, so it's like a little bit of a union racket you have
right,
going on.
Isn't it? That's America in a nutshell.
So, yeah, what a great system.
I love it.
You steal it. Stuff. Somebody tries
it.
What?
I find it. I can't help it if they don't put things solidly away in their pockets.
So you steal the stuff. Somebody tries to get their thing rightfully back, and then you threaten to have the parties shut down, like the next Revlon party.
You obviously hate unions. Union hater.
I don't hate unions at all. I hate that, though.
Well,
I mean, you must. There's no way that you're not getting somebody really getting in your face, though, about this.
Well, sometimes. I mean, geez, you're sounding like Bill Walton right now.
Bill Walton? You mean the basketball player?
Yeah.
How am I sounding like him?
My last run-in with a creep.
Yeah.
He's kind of a douche to me at the ESPN party.
Bill Walton was.
Yeah, I was working it.
Okay.
You know, he gave me that, if anything bad happens to this coat, it's your funeral kind of stuff, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I just done several rails at that point, and there's no way I was going to take this guy's S hit. So later on, I planted some of the white lady in his sport coat pocket. And I called the cops.
Oh, my God.
He got taken out by the cops in front of everyone.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was great, including Julius Erving.
That's terrible.
Larry Bird.
So you...
And Rodman.
Oh, my God.
And Magic.
Wow. So you just took a guy who's in the top 50 all-time greats for the NBA. and just got him arrested.
He worked my nerve.
By telling you not to do anything to his coat.
Yo, if you had heard the two that this guy was exuding, you would have done the same or worse.
And you sitting there completely buzzed on blow. You maybe were not the most objective person.
Well, all I know is how I saw it.
And how did you see it?
I saw it like he was coming at me.
What do you mean he was coming? You mean by telling you not to lose his coat?
No, he was literally coming at me with a machete. In my mind, that's how I saw it. I realize now that he wasn't carrying one.
So you're having some sort of drug freak out or what? I mean,
probably a combination of that and the E.
Oh, so you were...
And the crystal meth.
Oh, my God. So you're weed. Just... And then the weed. Anything else?
Vodka.
Oh, so you're drunk and high on about
wine.
Five... What?
Wine.
Whoa. So you're mixing alcohol. That's usually enough. Beer.
I don't know if cider counts as not beer, but something else, but I had that too.
So you had beer, wine, cider, and vodka.
I think you're missing a couple things, too.
Like what else?
Rum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, but that reminds me of these wild days. That I had in the early 80s.
Okay.
The craziest party I ever did.
Sure, what was it?
And this is going to be in the book, too.
Okay.
Do you remember back in the early mid-80s when Procter & Gamble had that logo controversy?
Like their logo is like a moon and stars or something?
It's the moon, but the moon's kind of made to look like this old man. You know, and it's looking at the stars, and people were kind of like speculating as to whether or not it was some kind of like satanic thing. Well, it turns out it is a satanic thing.
I kind of lost. You mean the
I was hired to do this Procter & Gamble party.
Yeah.
This is like 84. 85. And this was like a party for all the higher-ups at Procter & Gamble. And it took place out in the woods in Ohio. This thing was a full-on ritual.
Really?
Priests, debauchery. I don't know if it was real or not, but I swear they sacrificed this chick.
Oh, my.
It was wild.
So you're at this thing.
Yeah.
Well, what coats are you checking at this?
I'm checking their regular overcoats, and I'm giving them, like, these capes.
Oh, my God.
Black capes, yeah.
And they actually, these are all executives.
Executives, yeah. Venom played.
So they had Venom play this thing as a corporate gig.
I was doing rails with Kronos.
From Venom.
Their singer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're still in touch.
You're still in touch with the guy from Venom?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Lost touch with Abaddon, though.
Who's Abaddon?
The drummer.
Uh-huh.
You work at a radio station?
Yeah, oh, sorry, I didn't remember.
He plays drums for Venom.
You're right. Sorry, I missed that reference immediately.
Hey, speaking of music.
Yeah?
I also, in this book, I touch on my days as the co-check guy at CBGB's. Yeah. You know who Hilly is?
Yes, Hilly Crystal.
The owner.
Yeah.
He used to hire me to check coats. And the big gig, he said, hey, Larry, I want to hire you for all summer. This was back in 84. I want you to check coats at the Sunday Hardcore Matinee. I was super excited.
Now, why would he hire you to check coats at a hardcore show?
Well, it makes sense, you know, because guys come to these sex shows and they're wearing their overcoats. At least I assume that.
Yeah.
I thought it was like this hardcore porno thing.
No, it's hardcore music.
Yeah, they call it hardcore punk rock and roll.
Yeah, that or just hardcore.
Okay.
So you're the coat check at CBGB's.
Yeah. I didn't dig the music at all, but I actually did end up getting to like a lot of the guys who came to the show.
Like who?
Well, like I checked coats for mainly leather jackets for like Vinny from Agnostic Front, all the Ramones except Tommy, James Hetfield. JFK Jr. came one day.
Really? You checked his coat?
He came to check out 7 Seconds.
Uh-huh.
I checked his coat.
What, a nice coat?
I had it for 3 minutes, and then he was gone. He hated it.
He hated the show.
Yeah.
Came back and got his coat probably before you could do anything to the coat.
It's like a J. Crew thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you didn't get a chance to turn that coat upside down?
No, I did.
You did?
Yeah, nothing was in it, though.
Okay.
A pack of matches.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. So they... Oh. So who in all your experiences, you've been a coach that guy for how many years?
Well, I started in 80. Uh-huh. Actually, I started in 79.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So in all those years, who had the nicest coat?
Oh, man, nicest coats. Keith Richards. Let me think. Scott Weiland. Robert Downey Jr. Chuck Negron. Three Dog Night, Sly Stone.
Wow, there's a pattern here.
What do you mean?
Oh, I'd say it sounds like all these people might have had controlled substances in their coats.
You know, come to think of it, I do recall finding stuff on the floor those nights.
Uh-huh.
That those guys did come to the places I was checking coats at.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
So you just happened to get you happened to like the coats of Chuck Negron.
They were high quality coats. Oh my God, real top shelf stuff.
But they somehow they kept getting turned upside down.
Yeah, a lot of them do. I'll tell you what, the weirdest coat I ever did, who belonged to a celebrity.
Yeah.
Fred Stallone.
Who's that?
Fred Stallone.
Frank Stallone.
Yeah.
Frank Stallone.
Oh, Fred Stallone.
Who's Fred Stallone?
He's the youngest Stallone.
So there's like Sylvester Stallone.
We call him Sly.
Sly, okay, Sly. Frank Stallone.
Frank, we call him Frank.
What do you call him?
We call him Frank.
Frank.
Yeah.
And then there's Fred Stallone.
Yeah.
I never heard about Fred Stallone.
Well, there's a good reason.
What's that?
He is out there.
What do you mean?
Well, he hands me his coat, and it gets turned over.
Uh-huh.
And it was filled with Skittles.
Well,
thousands of them. Loose.
Uh-huh.
I still do not get it.
So all these Skittles just spill out all over the floor.
Super weird.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm going back memory lane here.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget after I told Hilly that I didn't want to do the hardcore matinees anymore.
Yeah.
He put me on the night shift.
Okay.
Around 85.
Uh-huh.
And I started doing these cool nighttime shows at CV's. Like, you've never heard of these bands. And I'm sure they kind of broke up afterwards. Camper Van Beethoven.
Yeah, I know who they are.
A band called Dinosaur Jr.
Sure, good band.
Scruffy the Cat.
Uh-huh.
Boy Dog Pondering. Bands like that.
Uh-huh.
I was doing the night shift there. And, you know... There was no snow during those hardcore matinees, but let me just say that those nights, I was skiing downhill every night.
Really?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of lot of people doing drugs at Camper Van Beethoven shows.
Let me just say that people were calling the coat check room the ski lodge.
Okay.
And they were calling me the railroad captain.
Because you're doing...
Doing rails is slang for, you know, doing that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of followed you.
Oh, I'll never forget one night.
Yeah.
Guess who came to Seabees?
Who?
Rick Ocasek.
Uh-huh.
Guess who he came with?
His wife?
Yeah.
Paulina Porizkova?
Oh, yeah.
And well, this is sounds kind of gross,
man.
Already. And what happened?
Oh. I mean, you think she's hot on those posters that you buy?
Uh-huh.
That you bought when you were a kid?
I didn't buy them, but I'm
Wait,
with you.
Wait, what?
Okay.
I did.
So you bought posters of Paulina Porizkova?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't?
No.
Okay, getting a clear image of you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry I didn't buy sorry I wasn't running my life like I lived in a dorm room.
I can say is
how old are
I
you,
bought a picture
way?
Of a semi-naked woman, and you didn't. I don't know what you would you buy, like a science poster?
Yeah, I bought a poster with all the different table of the elements.
You buy the nerd poster?
Yeah, it was.
They had the Booger Vault on it.
Yeah, that's what I had.
That's what I thought. Anyway, getting back to Paula.
Paulina.
Oh, she's hot.
Uh huh.
Paula.
Paulina.
Paulina, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
He's not a huge fan.
Big fan of her body, yes. Anyway, I'm so gagged at this point.
Yeah.
I just couldn't help myself.
Ugh.
I had to get romantic with her coat.
Oh, well, I didn't want to know about.
The worst part.
No.
Here's the worst part.
What?
She came back to get some cigs out of her pocket, and she caught me
okay,
in the act.
Okay. That's all I wanted to. That's enough.
Guess who ended up getting fired?
Who?
Me.
You, of course.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you
oh, it was wild.
You said it as if it was going to be somebody other than you.
Yeah, I was surprised that you took so long to get.
Well, you're like, guess who got fired, as if it's any mystery.
Oh, do you think Rick's going to get fired?
No, I don't know. Is you going to blame it on some other employee or something?
Well, I got to say, Rick seemed super cool in those Cars videos.
Uh-huh.
Not that night.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why. I wonder why he wasn't so cool.
He was so bummed.
Yeah.
He was madder than a rattlesnake at a Thai wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty mad.
It was bad. But you know.
Yeah?
I've actually gotten very romantic with the coats of many sexy celebs.
I don't want to know. Just give me some names real quick, but don't give me any details.
Off the top of my head, Lonnie Anderson, Terry Hatcher, Gillian Anderson, Charo, Jessica Alba, all of the 99 Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, Shirley Manson, Oprah Winfrey, Joss Stone, John Madden, Erica Christensen, the Bengals, Bonnie Raitt, Barbara Bush.
Barbara?
Yeah.
Barbara Bush.
Laura Bush.
Yeah.
Jenna.
Oh.
Yeah. I did a White House gig.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's horrifying.
Let me just say that Laura would have a bird if she knew what I did to that parka.
I don't even want to. You can't even talk about it. Stop. Don't even talk about it, buddy. So you
quite
really,
a life, huh?
It's some adventures. This book must be something else.
You know what's going to be something more else?
What's that?
Lighthouse.
Lighthouse?
Yeah.
What is Lighthouse?
It's a screenplay I've written.
Uh-huh.
And it's getting made this year.
It's a movie you wrote is getting made.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's Lighthouse about?
Well, I'll give it to you in a nutshell, okay? It's about this guy, Greg. And he's the best and toughest coat check guy in New York.
Uh-huh.
And he works in this really classy restaurant called the Crystal Room.
Okay.
And he's always stopping fights with these mob guys and all the while getting it on with these super hot chicks in the coat room.
Uh-huh.
He's like this coat check god.
Okay, so he's like a really great coat check guy.
Super hot, too.
Uh-huh.
Well, one day he gets a call from Michael.
Okay, who's Michael?
Michael's the guy that taught him the coat check ropes back when he first started.
Uh-huh.
And Michael's opened up this new restaurant in Western Maine.
Uh-huh.
And it's called The Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse.
Pretty much all crab fare.
Uh-huh. All right, so he gets a call to work at this restaurant?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, the clientele at this place, The Lighthouse, super rough. Hardcore fishermen, they're always getting into fights. Throwing nets on each other, stuffing fish in each other's private areas.
Ugh. Uh-huh.
So Michael calls Greg and he asks him if he'll come to Western Maine and be the co-check man at the Lighthouse.
Okay.
Because the two other co-check guys got killed by fishermen.
So the two other co-check guys...
Hang on.
Yeah?
Oh, Daddy's back! Oh. What's up, man?
Whoa.
I'll tell you about Lighthouse.
What?
I'll tell you about Lighthouse.
What did you just do?
What do you mean?
You were winding down energy-wise.
Who was?
You were.
No, what are you talking about?
I was starting to fall asleep listening.
Who was?
You were. Now, what
do you... I'll tell you about Lighthouse.
What did you just do? You just did some.
I had some Mountain Dew.
Oh, okay. Just a little bit of Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so.
So I'll finish the story.
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
So Greg, you know, he goes to this place, you know, and it's like hell on earth, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I start cleaning house there, you know.
Yeah.
And everything started to go great. But too great.
Okay.
And the lighthouse is doing so well that it starts stealing business from the Golden Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other biggest seafood place in Western Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And the Golden Wharf is run by this guy named Captain Logan.
Okay.
And Captain Logan starts waging this war on Greg and Michael and the lighthouse staff.
Yeah, yeah. They got me all wound up now.
Who is?
You.
No, I'm not.
No, you.
I sound different?
What?
I sound different?
Yeah, you sound completely different.
How so? No, I don't.
How so? You were talking like this before and really...
Oh, I can't wait to start dancing. We're going to dance after.
Uh-huh.
But...
Yeah? Okay, go ahead. So this movie...
What are you talking about?
You're talking about Lighthouse.
Who? I was?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was talking about Lighthouse. So, Captain Logan, he starts waging this war on Greg and Michael and the Lighthouse staff.
Uh-huh.
And Captain Morgan's henchmen, they throw this burning rowboat through the front window of the lighthouse, and
uh-huh.
it goes into the coat check room, and the coat check room goes up in flames.
Yeah.
And then Greg, he totally comes to the rescue.
Okay.
And he hears this baby crying.
From the coat check room.
It comes from the coat check room.
Uh-huh.
And someone checked this baby.
Someone checked a baby into the coat check.
Yeah. Why?
Because that's insane. Who would check a baby into?
I don't know, someone that was just like you know, kind of running around, didn't have time to think about what they were doing.
Uh huh.
So Greg runs back in and he finds not only the baby but these two other kids that got checked.
Uh huh.
And he saves all of them.
Uh huh. Okay.
And so now it's Greg's turn to kind of go wild.
Okay.
And he starts to exact his revenge over Captain Logan.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Okay. And how does he do that?
Oh man! And this is why we're so lucky that we've got Trent on board.
Yeah. Okay. Who's Trent again?
Trent.
Who's Trent?
Trent L. Strauss.
Who's that?
He's a producer, director, film guy.
Producer. Okay.
Yeah. His next one's called The Tool Belt Killer, but he's done stuff like You're Soaking in Her and Face Killers 1 through 3 and 6.
The guy who did Tool Belt Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're working with him?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how's that going?
It's great. He read my script, and he wants to produce it.
Wow. So he read your script, and he's going to make the movie.
Yeah, but he's got some ideas about how to make it more exciting.
Uh-huh. Like what?
Well, like, I had Greg going and beating up Captain Logan's henchmen with, like, my fists.
Uh-huh.
And maybe, like, with an oar or something.
Sure.
But Trent suggested that maybe Greg could shred their faces with a motorboat engine.
Uh-huh. So how would he do that?
How would he do it?
How would Greg attack them with a motorboat?
He'd pick it up and he'd turn it on and he'd go, and then the faces would come off.
Okay, wow,
yeah.
That's completely gruesome.
And there was this other part right at the end where I sneak into the Golden Wharf's coat check room.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm going to play Greg. I just decided that just now.
You just decided you're going to play Greg now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Well, because maybe it's the part of the lead of the movie should be played by an actual actor?
Well, it's my story, pretty much.
Okay.
Let me just tell the rest of the story.
Go ahead.
Okay, so so I sneak into the Golden Wharf's coat check room,
yeah.
And because I'm going to throw down with Captain Logan,
uh-huh.
And I hide in a coat, and I get checked in the coat check room.
Mm-hmm. So you are checked in the coat check room now.
Yeah.
Hiding in a coat.
Yeah.
How is it that a coat could be that heavy?
Well, the coat's being worn by Leonid Stadnik.
Yeah?
He's the world's tallest man. He's Ukrainian.
Uh-huh.
Check the Guinness book.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why?
I just sent him a script.
But why on earth would that not be tied in with the guy? Why would his coat be so heavy?
It wouldn't be heavy. It would be big. It would have a huge pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be inside it.
Okay. With a motorboat engine.
No. You got to listen to me. You're not following me. That other thing happens with the henchmen.
Okay.
I peel their faces off with that.
Okay.
The next thing's something totally different.
All
I've
right.
already killed those guys, and I've thrown away the engine.
Okay.
But now I go in the coat, and I go in the coat check room.
All right. So what happens then?
Yeah. So my idea was that I would beat up the captain with some pans from the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, kind of catch him in a net from the wall, and then throw him from the wharf into the water.
Uh-huh.
But Trent had this other thought.
What's that?
His idea is for Greg to impale the captain with a giant skewer and then lower him into a giant boiling pot.
Uh-huh.
And the pot's teeming with these sharks and crabs.
So he lowers... Wow, that just sounds insane.
He's impaled him on the skewer.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of squirtage.
Yeah? Ugh. Yuck.
From all the places.
Ugh. I didn't want to know about it. Don't even talk about it.
So there's these sharks and these crabs in the thing, in the pot... And they start eating the captain alive.
Ugh.
Yeah, but he's dying. But then the captain gets saved by the ghost of this Viking fisherman. I didn't mention that the Golden Wharf is built on an old Viking burial ground.
What's this guy Trent's fascination with Viking burial grounds?
Oh, wait, what? That's in one of his other things?
That's in the Tool Belt Killer.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, no, he sent me some sides from that, but I didn't get that part.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess...
I'll talk to him about that, because I think the Viking thing totally works in this one.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess maybe it's something you got. It's an either-or thing.
So anyway, yeah. It's still on this Viking burial ground, and both the captain, who only has these stumps at this point,
uh-huh.
And the Viking ghost, they start wailing on Greg, and they start peeling his face off.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to ruin the end, but Greg does turn the tables, and he saws off both the ghost and the captain's private parts. Ugh. With a rusty harpoon razor.
Ugh. Yuck. That sounds terrible.
Oh, you're going to love it when you uh-huh. see it.
It sounds disgusting. I'm not going to see it.
Well, maybe you'll see this.
What?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Kochek.
What is that?
It's this other flick I'm working on.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Kochek.
Yeah, hang on.
Okay.
Yes, I go back in time and I get a job as this Kochek guy at Hitler's favorite restaurant.
So what, did you just do more coke?
Who did?
You.
Do you have any?
No, I don't have any coke.
Okay.
Why would I have coke?
I don't know, you're talking about coke right now. What's up with it? You know rails?
What?
You know rails?
What's that?
You know rails?
I can't understand you.
I said, you know rails?
Hold on, what is that?
You know rails?
What?
I'll say it as slow as I can, okay?
Yeah.
You know rails?
I don't understand.
Whoa.
Slow it down.
You got any candy?
Do I have any candy?
Yeah. Oh, you got some?
No, I don't. I'm not. No, I don't.
Want to hear about the flick?
What?
You want to hear about the flick?
Do I want it? Yes, I want to hear about the flick. The Lion, the Witch, and the Kochek.
Yeah. So I go back in time, uh-huh. And I get this job as the Kochek guy at Hitler's favorite restaurant.
Okay.
And so Hitler checks in his coat, and I booby trap it, and I kill him.
So you kill Hitler in this movie.
Yeah, and I become the Fuhrer, and then I surrender to the Allies.
Uh-huh.
And then I start this boogie-woogie band, and I have last sex.
Oh, that sounds like a terrible...
It's great, you're going to love it.
Sounds great, yeah.
I got a whole line of Kochek stuff I'm working on.
Like different Kochek things.
Oh, yeah.
Because the world is dying to get different Kochek.
It's a total franchise brand. I'm watching The Apprentice, like, every time it's on, and I'm totally getting into, like, brands and stuff, branding.
Oh, like, you're getting into branding,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, you watch The Apprentice, yeah?
Do I like The Apprentice?
Are you watching it this year?
No.
You don't watch it at all?
Not anymore, no.
Oh, man, there's one guy he's gotten out of what do they call it when they do stuff?
The tasks?
The tasks. He gets out of these two tasks because he's Jewish and he doesn't work on those Sabbaths?
Uh-huh.
So he's gotten these two passes, and the other team guys are mad at him.
I lost you there for a second.
So the other guys on his team are mad at him because he doesn't do the tasks.
Uh-huh, because he doesn't work on the
side. And Trump's already fired, like, the hottest chicks already. So anyway, I want to tell you about Kochek math.
Uh-huh, well, Kochek what?
Kochek math.
Kochek math.
It's these Kochek books and these flashcards, and they help kids learn, like, math and stuff, but... via Kochek stuff.
I don't even know what...
It's like a lot of word stuff, like word problems, you know, when you were a kid, like word problems and stuff. Sentence stuff.
Okay, like what is... Give me an example of one.
Like, okay, Mr. after Rehnquist goes into DiMedici's for dinner, and he checks, he and his party check 16 coats. They get added to the 32 coats that are already on check in the coat check, yet two are lost, and two more come in, but one more is lost. How many coats are in the coat check area?
And why would kids care about that?
Kids love coat checking.
Kids love coats.
A, kids love coats.
Uh-huh.
And they love to turn them over to people.
Okay.
And then get them back, hopefully.
All right. So that's kind of news to me.
That's one.
Yeah.
We also got hidden code confessions.
And what is that?
Do you remember Taxicab Confessions?
Yeah, it was that HBO show where it was showing people in a taxi cab filming them.
Super erotic.
Oh, well, that's your decision. Your opinion.
That's the opinion of the masses.
Uh-huh.
This is the same thing, but it's like these hot coat check chicks, and yeah. They tell their most intimate secrets.
Yeah.
In the coat check room.
Okay.
And there's like these cameras in the pockets of the coats.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it films people in the coat check room?
Only the chicks, the hot chicks.
Okay.
Yeah, no fatties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
What?
Just being kind of negative like that.
No, I'm not negative at all.
No
fatties.
I speak
for America.
No fatties.
Wait for Trapped in the Coat Check.
What?
Trapped in the Coat Check?
What is that?
You know that R. Kelly thing? Trapped in the Closet?
Sure.
Same sort of deal.
Uh-huh.
But it's guys trapped in the coat check room.
So it's a guy trapped in a coat check room and all different stories and whatnot.
All kinds of stories, yeah.
And who are you doing that with?
Pardon me?
Are you doing that with somebody, or is that just you doing all the music?
I'm doing it with a couple of the guys in Chicago.
A couple of the guys in Chicago?
Yeah.
The band Chicago?
No, Ferguson Jenkins.
The jazz guy?
No, he was the bass. He played baseball for the Cubs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, he's a musician?
No, he's kind of financing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got some guy.
I'm writing it myself.
So you're writing it. You got some former baseball players financing.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Franco Harris is interested too.
What's that?
Franco Harris.
So you're working with different athletes.
Yeah.
And I assume you met them through coat checking?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's sounds like you've got a very prosperous future ahead of
you. I got a lot of stuff going. Hey, and I got to go in a second.
Yeah.
So I want to wrap this up, okay? I got to head down to, got to head down to Camden.
What's in Camden?
Trent says that, you know, we can probably get either Kubrick or Wells to direct the movie. But I got to go meet all of them in Camden in about an hour and 20 minutes.
I kind of lost you there. Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who?
From the Hills Have Eyes.
Well, no, not The Hills Have Eyes. Eyes Wide Shut?
What's that?
That's the last movie he directed. He died like 5 or 6 years ago.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he most certainly.
Shut up.
He did.
Well,
and who's the other guy?
I'm meeting him in an hour and 20.
Who's the other guy? Wells?
Yeah.
Orson Welles.
Yeah, yeah.
Another guy. A guy who died about 20 years ago.
No, he didn't. What? You're stupid.
No, yeah, I'm the stupid one.
Well, I'm meeting these guys in this Avis lot down there in Camden.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird because I Google Earthed this address.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have a satellite picture.
Yeah.
And it just showed up as this abandoned lot with, like, no lighting.
So it's an Avis, like an abandoned Avis?
Well, and in this picture, you can also kind of make out what looked to be gang members, like, kind of off to the side.
Actually from Google Earth.
Yeah, and it looks like there's some sort of burning car, too.
Wow. For Google Earth to capture violent images like that.
Do you want to go down with me?
Definitely not.
Come on, please.
No, absolutely not.
I'll cut
you
in half and half.
No way.
50-50.
No.
Come on.
I don't care about your stupid movie.
Do you think this is on the up and up?
Well, are you bringing money down?
A little bit of that, but more of something else.
Well, how much money are you bringing down?
I'm bringing $10,000.
Okay, and how much of something else?
I'll almost a pound. Why?
And how much is that pound worth?
Oh, you know, it's got to be six figures at this point, I would think. Wouldn't you think?
I'm not much of a trafficker of certain things.
Right.
So.
Hang on. Oh, if those guys steal my stuff, I'm going to be so bummed, man.
Okay, you know what? Good luck.
Please
with
go with me, please.
No,
we'll
absolutely.
Do rails. Come on.
No.
I'll get you Rolling Lighthouse.
What?
I'll get you Rolling Lighthouse.
What?
You'll start a lighthouse.
I can't understand you.
You'll start a lighthouse.
What?
You'll be a lighthouse.
Lighthouse, the movie.
Yeah. Why?
I don't care about Lighthouse.
Come on. Well, I'll let you be the guy that gets split in half in two by a tuna saw. Come on.
No, I
Please,
don't.
Come on, go.
No. You're on your own.
Come on.
You're on your
I'm
own.
I'm coming over there.
Good luck.
We're going to do it. Come on.
Good luck down
come on,
there.
We're going to walk into the night.
No.
Come on, champagne and cocaine. Come on. We're going to do it. Come on.
What did you just say?
I said champagne and cocaine. Come on, we're going to do it.
Champagne and cocaine.
Did you ever
no. Good luck.
Did
what do you think?
I
got to move on.
We're going to do it. Come on, we're going to do it.
I got to move on. Oh, he hung up on me. Wow. You hear that, everybody? The sad effect of controlled substances. You gots to watch out for them. Well, thank you for listening to Best Show Gems, the best of the best show on WFMU. If you like what you just heard, the full-length program is done each and every Tuesday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen on your radio in the New York, New Jersey area at 91.1 FM or anywhere on the globe at WFMU.org. WFMU.org also has an extensive archiving of all the previous episodes of The Best Show. And you can get more information on the program over at friendsoftom.com. I want to thank a few people, if I could. Martin DeGrell, the producer and compiler of Best Show Gems. Thank you, Martin. Mel Matsuoka, who is the producer of the full-length 3-hour Best Show podcast each and every week, and the protector of the Best Show on WFMU archives. Thank you, Mel. John Worcester, obviously, thank you. Associate producer Mike, and everybody at WFMU, thank you so much. If you like what you just heard, check out the full-length show. You can download the podcast or listen live at WFMU.org.